Friendly Geordie's podcast, just Miss Love and Jordan in the studio.
What's up?
Sorry.
It's clearly not Ali, is it? It's got none of his intellectual style to it at all. It's probably one of the dumbest things in the English language.
There's dumber, though.
Speaking of this, Kesha, we just came off of recording two episodes on Move FM, and we were laughing at something that was on, I think it was about 7:30 in the morning, and then this song came on. This is the worst song in top 40 history, and of course it's by Kesha.
Get ready for this.
Coming at your mouth with your blah blah blah. Zip your lip like a padlock. And meet me in the back with the jack of the jukebox. I don't care where you live at. Just turn around, boy. Let me hit that. Don't be a little bitch with your chit chat. Just show me what you
listen high. Human garbage. And she looks like trash in every single YouTube
she does.
Clip.
I mean, we're not.
It's like she's going out of her way to look disgusting.
We're not.
She looks like a bad smell.
Yeah, I know. See, the thing for me is, like, that song is just deplorable.
It was just so gross us talking about, yeah, actually, you know what? Sting is underrated. And they're going straight into blah, 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 yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, shut the fuck up and let me fuck you. Blah, blah, yeah. Blah.
I can't believe the lyrics are like, take your dick. It's like, what? That's like very strange. But I do have a question for you. Would you screw her?
Jesus Christ, Miss Love. What do you take me for? I don't have an attraction to Coke cans. Honestly, just think about this in contrast. Listen to this music again. Who thinks that is a good thing to put over the top of your voice? That computer sound.
Obviously, the really average producer that did this song.
For sure, yeah. Because it has this internet modem sound from the 90s. That beep.
I know.
In English.
But you know what's strange? It's almost like, I saw this book the other day, and I think it was by, I don't know, somebody, it was by like a radical feminist or something. And I nearly bought it because I was really curious. It's almost like learn, you know, keep your enemies close or closer or whatever. So in that same regard, like, I feel like I would read Kesha's autobiography just to be like, what is going on in your head? She's genuinely, I think I'm the most, in terms of the people that I'm most interested in terms of their psyche in the whole world, Kesha's probably like number one. Because she doesn't.
So not the Dalai Lama, not Nelson Mandela, not Queen Elizabeth II even.
No.
Kesha, the royalty of pop.
Not because she's so terrible.
That's a really, really good point. How are you that confident? It's because that's what's happened.
You know what
it's clearly just her mind is, you know how most top 40 people, they just sing about the club to get on the charts? She's passionate about the club.
But
her soul is most in alignment.
But see, I think that it's all a hoax. I'm just spitballing here, but I think that she's like, you know, enjoys bodyboarding and reading.
You read that biography, I can guarantee you that the words bodyboarding and reading do not come across in it. In fact, search it up on an e-reader. Get the e-reader edition. I can guarantee you it'll come back with zero results. Tell us the story. You have a friend that had sex with Kesha.
Yeah. Such a good segue. This is such a change from the radio, isn't it? It's let loose.
Yeah, instead of just going, Move FM, Father's Day's coming up, Move FM. I'm in the club.
Blah, 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 blah.
Actually, no, it's not. We just played this.
It's the same. What is that production? You're right. Whoa, it gets worse.
It's so gross that she makes herself look like Mina turned on by her. But apparently your friend was. But I know of another story that I'll tell after this about Kesha.
Okay, well, it was in, I think it was in Frankie's, that club. Do you know that place?
No.
It's some crappy, like, rock and roll club in Wynyard, of all places.
Yes, I do know this about Kesha. She is a massive fan of David Bowie and regards herself to be as good.
Whoa. Yeah, nice.
Be cool.
Nice and humble. Nice. Nice for a change for a pop star to be humble. So she was there and... I presume it went down exactly like this video. I guess my mate walked up to her and she was like, "You're talking da, 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 blah, blah, blah. Put your dick in my a-hole." And and he
didn't go A, did he?
No. Well, I don't know. No, I don't think so. But he...
Kesha would definitely be the kind of person that would just say, I've got a two-way dildo, ass to ass.
So,
you're too scared to leave. It's like that spider in Greek mythology that lures people into her if they puts them around in a web. I would be not surprised at all if she could actually shoot cobwebs out of her anus.
That's like credibility right there. I'd be like, you've got a talent.
Thank you. Stop this pop music. Go on America's Got Talent. Everyone needs to see that.
Or be a superhero or something. But
blah, blah, blah. Spider Woman. Gross Spider Woman is her name.
Gross. Oh, my God. Anyway, he took her into the girl's bathroom and screwed her in there. Just standing up.
Classy.
Yeah, that happened.
Have you ever had sex with anyone in a bathroom?
Oh, damn. No. No, I don't think I have. No. No.
Sounding very proud of yourself.
No, I'm not proud. That sucks. Have you?
You think it sucks that you haven't had sex with someone in a public bathroom and then people just kicking down the door going, "I need to shit," while you're sitting there plowing someone going, "Fuck off, fuck off."
Well, that's a very post-apocalyptic perspective. I would imagine it could be quite naughty and fun.
With this song... the exact opposite of romance. Be honest about this.
Drugs,
that is vile as it gets.
Drugs can synthesize a lot of emotions, Jordan. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But you need to get rid of the wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I actually don't.
Yes, you do.
I really don't. I know nothing about drugs, Miss Love.
You know a little bit about them.
I know that Captain Morgan's tastes worse than Jack Daniels.
You know the green stuff.
Oh, I do too. I used to partake in the herb.
There you go, guys. Your hero, Friendly Jimmy's, was a pinhead. What's his name? Call him Bill O'Reilly. Pinheads.
Pinheads are patriots. Up next on the O'Reilly Factor. You know what he regarded
Patriots?
This is where I got off him. Yeah. He regarded Sting as a pinhead.
Didn't we assert on our radio show earlier that's the case, though?
I thought we came to the conclusion that Sting's awesome and dads have good taste in music.
I feel like I feel like it's both. He's a pinhead and a patriot.
Don't think that's ever happened before. But I don't think it can.
Are you telling me
is utter gibberish?
Are you telling me there's a guy who's not smashing duck hones and smashing duck ham and pineal pizza that isn't extremely proud to be American?
What?
A pothead and a pinhead is a stoner, right?
Not necessarily. A pinhead is just somebody that Bill O'Reilly doesn't like.
Of course. Silly me. Silly me.
But I thought that you like Stig as well, because we were talking about that is the most dad music there is.
Such dad music.
It's their generation's Kesha.
Upon the fields of barley. You know, my dad bought a bass.
Honestly, wouldn't you rather have sex with Sting?
You know what's weird about that? Maybe.
Even present day.
He's all right.
I'd be bottom to him as well, and I'd still prefer it to Kesha.
This is such an outlandish statement.
But it's undeniable. In my books, you will never get me in a moment where I will say it's the other way around.
You know what? I kind of agree with you, man. And what's your Kesha story? Did you have one as well?
Oh, for sure. I got a million minus 999,999. I've got one. So
he's good with numbers.
I know how to count, sort of.
Better than me.
True, you are terrible. But we'll get into that later. Maths chat with Miss Love and Jordan. But in the meantime,
we're free to do whatever we want on this pod, baby.
It's such a liberating feeling. In
it
fact,
is.
I'm taking my shirt off.
Take your freaking goddamn shirt. Yeah, that's a good looking body. You're looking all right. Screw Sting. Come over here, hunk. How cool is that?
I'm cold. I'm putting it back on.
Put it back on. But it was a good sentiment, and it was a good gesture.
Point is, yes. We can do what we want, damn
it. We can do what we want here.
We're going to abide by the rules because they're more or less there. It's one of those people that goes, man, fuck the cops. What, you want to live in an anarchist society?
Yeah, exactly.
Society? Good for you.
Yeah, fuck the cops. Someone broke in next door. Call the cops.
Why weren't you here sooner?
Yeah.
So Kesha, she was at another club, probably exactly the same one because it was a rock
she
club.
She loves the club. Oh, she probably loves rock and roll. Yeah. Where's she,
I bet you she thinks
she
that this
from?
Song by Britney Spears, I Love Rock and Roll, is the most rock and roll song there is.
Can we just quickly, before you tell the story, can we just punt what where she's from and then you Google it right now or I Google it and we find out what state and city. I'm gonna
I
just
bet she crawled out of a stove in California.
I was going to say LA because you can't be that, I'm going to look it up myself, you can't be that LA and not be from there. Like if she's from like Arkansas, then there's no hope for anybody.
Yeah, the rot has spread.
Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely do, Miss Love, for once in my life. So what happened with Kesha?
Yeah, you tell me the story.
She was in a club. There was a bouncer that walked up to this guy who had a hipster beard. Just quickly.
Born in Los Angeles. You're right. We were right. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
God, she would be, if Los Angeles broke off like in the movie Escape from LA, surely she would be the queen.
Oh, can you imagine? It'd be like, Mad Max and the Thunderdome. She'd be Tina Turner.
She's perfect for that role.
Yeah. Maybe that's what she should
Born
go
in
for.
The wrong era.
Yeah. 80s. Actually, you're right. 100%.
So she brought along this hipster dude that was just sitting in that club as well.
Like
he
that.
Didn't know who she was because he's deep in Surrey Hills. So he has no idea who Kesha is, but
deep
obviously
in
she's
Surrey Hills.
One of the biggest celebrities on the planet.
How overrated is Surrey Hills? There's hills and pubs. What, like everywhere else in the whole world?
You got it.
Sorry.
But we're special. No, you're not. You're all just part of really shit advertising firms that make the same ad over and over again of a dude in a beard dressed in a leotard and you think it's hilarious. It wasn't even funny the first time. Fuck everyone who lives in Surrey here.
And also, like, what I can only assume as chest, like, attacking people, like... Catholics that aren't even like instigating anything, just some like
it's Reverse Island,
yeah.
And their version of throwing Molotov cocktails is to look smug. So yeah, he was there. He was one of those. She goes, what music are you into? And he goes, rock and roll. And she goes, cool, me too. And then she says, what do you do? And then this is the best part. He says, I'm a musician to Kesha.
Oh my
god. I mean,
god.
Honestly. She can't call herself a musician.
No.
But still, I mean, 66 million people think that she is. No one has ever heard of this guy, right? And he says a musician. And then Kesha goes, oh, cool, so mer. So she got at that point that he had no idea who that was. And then she goes, oh, you can picture me, poop moon.
No.
So they go back to her apartment.
Yep.
It's the penthouse at the Hilton.
I love that we both know people that have screwed her. She must get around, but yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, look at her.
Yeah. But
and every single one of her songs is like, shut up and get your dick erect.
Yeah,
the song.
True. Yeah.
The album. So, shut up and get your dick erect part two.
So go on. Do tell. I want to see what happened.
So she goes up there with him. She goes, come into the bedroom. And then obviously they're trying to have sex. He says that she is so off-putting and scary and really drunk at this point that he could not get an erection.
Oh my god.
He had Viagra in his wallet, but
of course he
did.
It,
it's expired.
Why would he? Who? Okay, I'm not going to get into that. Okay, he had Viagra in his wallet.
Hipsters are really into having Viagra at this point.
What?
I think it's just because it makes them seem like they can perform more than they can. That and everybody in Surrey Hills smells like decomposing flowers. And you don't really want to have sex with something that's wilting. So she comes up and so she's going, just do something to me then. And he goes, okay. And he starts fingering her and she goes, more fingers. And so he puts in three.
Oh,
goes,
no.
More.
Oh, I see where this
puts
is going.
Puts in four. More. technically not even a finger. Goes in the thumb and she goes all the way. And he fists her.
Oh.
Fists.
Pressure.
I just realized that's defamation. So let's just rephrase that. He had sex with someone that might or might not have been Kesha.
What's the definition of defamation? Oh, hearsay.
Saying something
hearsay.
That is hearsay. But I think that in America, it's way looser. Here, it's just defaming someone is making their character less in the eyes of the public.
All right. Well, I'll take back what I said, too, that my friend may or may not... I'll rectify what I said earlier. My friend may or may not have had intercourse with someone that may
in
or
a
may not.
It was in a bed of petals.
So you make up.
Blurb,
you make
which
up
is
yourself.
Urine.
You guys make your mind up for yourselves. Just a prelude too. I've been just a shout out there. Don't work too much because I'm running on fumes. If I sound like Kesha might. God, we're mean. If I sound as if you might imagine Kesha might sounding now, it's because I've been working too hard.
No, you don't sound like that.
Okay.
You sound like someone on Triple J who's really scared of losing their job.
How good is that? Me being exhausted and just as a result not being on my A game, that's the someone from Triple J trying?
The absolute
meaning. Damn. You heard it here first, people.
I don't know what I hate more, Triple J or Kesha. It's Triple J. I honestly think it's a...
I can't say this because, like, I need Triple J so badly.
Yeah, so you think they're great, but I think friends can differ, can't they? Yeah. Let's talk about Steve Bannon. What do you know about him?
All right,
because
Steve...
he just quit the Trump administration.
Steve Bannon just quit the Trump administration. Well, he actually got fired. Well, it's hearsay, who knows. But he's left. Details are sort of sketchy. My understanding is after the whole Charlottesville debacle... the media was pushing on Trump, and Trump, being the impulsive character that he is, decided. This is what I've read that he sort of needed to instigate something as a reactionary against this incident, which doesn't really make sense to me because.
What is the incident?
Charlottesville, the white supremacist killed an Antifa member.
So he sacrificed Steve Bannon so he could get. Charlottesville off of the headlines.
Yeah, that's what that's apparently the case, which
isn't
doesn't make
Steve
any.
Steve Bannon, like a wordworm or whatever his name is, the henchman to Lord Voldemort.
I've heard so many different perspectives of policy and personality of him that it's so many polar opposites that it's hard to say.
But the question that's on everyone's mind, is he good in bed?
Probably not. He's had like a few ex-wives, so I assume not.
Really? I reckon he'd be a freak.
I reckon he'd be...
And they left because he's too scary.
Well, you know what I like to think? That apparently, well, this is what like Tucker Carlson said, that basically he's like a freedom-loving, true conservative that wants to, you know, deregulate and drain the swamp, and he was too like renegade for the White House. Like he would fight, which he actually admitted openly that he fought with advisors. He a few times mentioned that he was battling with Goldman Sachs representatives in the White House.
That's so sad. So he's the one that got kicked out, and the swamp is now draining Trump.
Well, that's
seems.
that
I'm Alan Jones.
Well, that. that seems like a very real situation. I mean, the only thing I've heard from the left, or at least the left news sources, is that
let's be honest, it's not left. It's just really
a corporate,
really pro
corporate. Corporate, sorry, corporate news sources.
The
not
Clinton
the
Media Network.
Yes, the Clinton. Exactly. I love when you talk like that. So their perspectives. The only thing I got from them was. Bannon has really stepped down at this time. What he did was he released too much information for a interviewee for a left-wing magazine, and the leaks have come out, and Trump has just been so disappointed that they let him go. What he said in that interview was that he condemns white supremacy and he thinks they're losers. So I don't see how that jeopardized anything. And so that
what, Trump said, all right, now you've gone too far.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know what, man? My perspective at this point is that I am of this perspective that it's all just, it's just a circus. The White House is a circus. on so many different levels in terms of...
Right, so you've more localized Britney Spears' theory on life that it's all a circus.
It's all a circus.
And you've just made it into the White House.
Well, I
mean... Do you think it was under Obama, or do you think it's a circus now? Under Obama, it was Circus du Soleil.
That's a probably better way to put it. I think it was definitely a circus when Obama was there, but I think it's just more so of a circus with...
But let's be honest,
Trump.
The reason why you think it's a circus under Obama is because you exclusively listen to Rebel Media.
I do not exclusively listen to Rebel Media. That's not true.
Ben Shapiro's in there as well.
Yes. No, there's other things. It's not that. I mean...
What did you watch this morning? Instead of sleeping last night, this is why you're so tired at the moment, is because you watched back-to-back episodes of CNN getting owned.
Yes, and what's her name? Rachel Maddow getting owned. But that's just more because it's hilarious, you know? I like smug people getting shot down. But
who doesn't?
But you have to admit that the system of politics, especially in America, is essentially a system set up for stalemate, which is to prevent any extremes passing. I mean, there's a Senate of, like, I don't know, 60 people. Like, Obama in his 8 years passed Obamacare. That's one really significant initiative that he managed to get through Congress. I mean, the whole system...
Hey, he also made it so that credit cards couldn't go up over 21% interest.
Fair enough. And he made transgender bathrooms a thing.
Yes, he's this generation's Franklin D. Roosevelt.
So, I mean, I think that to say it's a circus isn't a crazy statement. Like, it's this idea that the president has unanimous authority over anything, you know, even if he's signing these executive orders. I mean, a lot of them are like, they're signed. Now we'll put it at the stack of the pile, and if they get passed by the Senate, we'll further the discussions. Like, it's not, do you know what I mean? It's a bureaucratic system, so... Yeah, but anyway, I'm getting off topic here. Steve Bannon, I don't know what it means for them. I don't know what the intention necessarily was. I did read a quote that now that he's left, he said something like, "I'm going to fight for the president harder than ever." So I don't think he's butthurt at all. I really don't know.
Wow, that is a very exciting conclusion to Steve Bannon segment. Moving on, Melbourne.
That
is the greatest. It's just like listening to anything Alan de Botton has ever put on YouTube. Half an hour of waffling and then at the end. So to answer your question, as a philosopher, I don't know.
Who the hell's Alan de Botton?
He's a man that looks like a very skinny George Costanza. And he sits there and goes, "Let's talk about love. And I think it's a very depressing subject, but it's also very happy. I don't know."
Sounds like my kind of guy.
He is more or less you with less hair. Melbourne versus Sydney. What do you reckon, Miss Love? Because you just came back from there.
I just came back from Melbourne. I just wanted to throw this out here because I was there for 4 days.
Please do, but also keep in mind that we do have listeners in Melbourne. So whatever you say, drive the nail in them. We're not interested in you. We hate you more than Queensland when State of Origin's on, which because you know nothing about it. You don't know who's in the Melbourne Storm. Remember that footy segment where it would just go around and it was, I don't know, I can't remember who it was even now. It was something like Matty Johns or something. And he goes, "Hey, do you know who I am?" And they go, "No." And then everybody laughed because it's the footy show.
Oh, wow.
And that's the level of comedy there.
Well, funnily enough, a bloke called Liam something who's like, profile picture is him in speed dealer sunnies and like bleach blonde hair, which I assume is like 85% of our demographic, which I'm very happy about. Messaged me and was like, no, I can't remember. He said something and was like, and I was like, "Where do you live?" He's like, "Melbourne." I'm like, this very same Melbourne, cha-ching. And he was just like, "That's sick." And then basically recommended bars that I'd already been to. But so we do have fans there. I just was curious. I want to see what you think, but personally, I'll express my opinion.
Shoot.
One, it's a very well, I understand about, like, I agree that the grid, the way it's been planned out, is way more superior.
Second to none.
Yeah.
Excluding Canberra.
Come on, roundabouts? Canberra don't have trams.
Yeah, you're right. Screw Canberra.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway,
it should have been Melbourne. We should have just given it to Sydney. That should have been the capital.
We probably should have. No, we should have given it. Sydney should be. Sydney is the capital. It's Sydney. I mean, yes. It's just ridiculous.
But it's closer to Japan, Miss Love.
What?
Well, that was the reason why they put Canberra up. They were always saying that it was a rivalry between Sydney and Melbourne. But the actual truth was...
What's closer to Japan?
Sydney.
So what's wrong with that?
Jeez. It's a little thing called a map, Michelin.
Yeah, but what's wrong with that? Why is that an issue? It's also further away from Greenland. What's your point?
My point is we were never invaded by Greenland in World War II.
Wait,
that's not a threat to us, Miss.
Oh, so they were going to go.
That's what I'm talking about. So they were going to
do Sydney, and they're like, hold on. It's closer to our enemies. That's why they didn't go for Sydney?
Well, the infrastructure is also set up. All roads lead to Sydney in Australia, so it'd be easy for them to attack Sydney.
What difference does it make? It's just a title.
Miss Love, do you understand how geography works?
No.
If you put a city inland, it's going to be harder for them to attack.
No, but calling it a capital. Sydney was built, Canberra's built, it's all established. The war happens. Japan is a real threat. Naming Canberra the capital versus naming Sydney the capital doesn't reduce threats. That's my point.
No, it's about where the location is. First of all, because it's on the harbour, right? It means that it's more susceptible to naval attacks. That's problem number one.
That's always the case. It's still there.
Miss Off, you can't deploy the Japanese Navy into the lake in Canberra.
Oh! So wait, that's just more reason.
Topography with Mr. Calibration. It's just the book is called More Questions Than Answers.
That's just more reason to make it Sydney. I'm not letting this go. You have flawed logic here.
Okay, so this is what I'm understanding from this. You wanted Japan to invade Sydney.
No.
Okay, well, why would you make it Sydney?
Because it doesn't make a difference.
Oh my God.
Dude, a capital city is just a name. It doesn't even, if you're going to deploy, if it's better to deploy soldiers from Sydney, then calling Sydney the capital or Canberra the capital doesn't alter the fact of where you're deploying.
Okay. So I get what it is. Yes. The problem is that you're historically illiterate.
What are you talking about?
Australia never attempted to invade Japan.
You started you used that example. You were like to deploy, you started talking about deploying soldiers.
Japan deploying soldiers to Australia.
Yes.
If I said that, I profusely apologize. Okay. That's not what I meant to say.
Okay.
But I will.
It just still say doesn't change the fact that the capital being in Canberra or Melbourne or Sydney or Darwin doesn't change the geography of Sydney and the connection to Japan. Should we just move on?
Okay, so you're saying
it makes no
difference
if
the Prime Minister is sitting at State Parliament in Sydney, which keep in mind how close that is. That is definitely in shell range.
Parliament.
You wouldn't even have to set troops on the ground. He'd just be sitting there going, I'd like to debate the sheep tax that we're putting up. And that's the end of our leadership.
So you're telling me... Okay, well, I wasn't thinking about Parliament. I was just thinking about the troops because that's what you kept saying. But are you saying that that's the reason why Canberra is the capital purely because it's inland and because that it's less of a threat on the Prime Minister?
That's why the brain of Australia is there.
But the politicians were traveling all the time at that time anyway. I mean, is that really? That's a bit over the top, isn't it? I mean, they would have been in Sydney half the time anyway, I'd assume.
Probably. It doesn't take away from the fact that if you have that there, you've got two more days to organize a defense.
All right. You know what? Now I see what you mean. We got there half an hour later.
This is... God. Imrushiano claiming that you've got the loosest show in Australia. You got nothing on us, you chain-smoking bikey.
Oh, God. This is going to be dug up in our future. So, as I was saying, so the grids... Great. Melbourne is planned out. It's so the trams are free in the inner city. As soon as you go, we were staying in St. Kilda. It's a 15-minute tram. You're in the city. 15 minutes any way out. It's way more environmentally friendly. It's a lot. You're better off walking and tramming in Melbourne than driving. It's a fact.
On top of that, it technically is the most livable city in the world.
It is. It got number one. Another thing, I like the architecture and stuff, and there's a lot more churches there. It's a lot more gothic. Like, if you squinted, you could be in Sweden. So, I really, those are all the pluses, right? Those are all the pluses.
What are the minuses? The fact that your only hobby there is to eat cheesecake.
Okay, so those are all the pluses. The minuses, I'm just going to do the minuses in terms of regards to Sydney, okay? So overall, that's for Melbourne. Having said that, Sydney's way better. This is why. I'll give you a few reasons.
More possums?
First of all, having a city by the seaside is way more beautiful. Even though Melbourne is beautiful, it's way more beautiful to have a harbour. Sydney is way more. There's more going on. There's a topography, the way it sprawls out, the variety of suburbs, the beaches. There's more to do. That you can't tell me there's more to do in Melbourne. I know I'll probably get chastised for this, but like, I just think there's more to do in Sydney. I know this is an annoying as hell reason, but the weather, man, it was just torrential rain and wind the whole time I was there, and it was annoying.
So it's Dante's first layer of hell, just extremely windy.
Also,
I love how that was his first layer of hell. He's so right. There is not a more annoying weather condition than having to go, I should put on my jacket. It's getting a bit too hot now.
Also, I'm going to get in racy water here, but I think there's hotter girls in Sydney.
Without a doubt.
And I think that...
Beaches make bays.
Yeah, and I have to put it out there, right? I have to put it out there.
Streets do not.
I have to put it out there. The food culture and the coffee culture, everyone goes on about it in Melbourne. It's freaking better in Sydney, dude.
Is that a cat? I can't believe cat. I said, is that a cat?
It's not a nursery rhyme, dude.
I thought it was Dr. Seuss.
These are close margins. I'm not like, Melbourne's probably the second best city. Actually, no, I like Brisbane more. So it's probably the third best, but.
I don't know. Darwin.
Well, I haven't been. You know, to be honest,
neither
I can't.
Have I. But I do know that their greeting up until the 80s was to punch each other. That was their way of saying
no.
And if that's their way of saying
I'm in the wrong place.
Exactly. Wow.
But basically, yeah. So that's basically my opinion. I mean, we went to a lot of different dining experiences. Dude, I think the coffee, even like the hipster coffee places, Sydney is just, fair enough, Melbourne probably started it. In fact, I'd say definitely started it. But Sydney, whether you like it or not, has sort of taken that gauntlet and has just got and has ran with it and has excelled it, in my opinion. And
I love how this has been a fair breakdown of Sydney versus Melbourne from somebody who grew up in Sydney.
Yeah, I know. But I've been to Melbourne like a few times and I have... I don't know. I do like it, but what's your opinion?
My opinion is pretty much exactly the same as yours. I like Sydney more purely because it's more beautiful than Melbourne is in terms of nature. And
it's more summery.
The thing that sells it doesn't
summery,
matter.
Summery, dude.
That's a really good point. And on top of that, I might add that people in Melbourne are much nicer than they are in Sydney.
Really? You think that?
Sydney people are awful.
They are clicky and stuck up, aren't they? Would you say?
Yep. So I don't know why you put that in a tonality of, yeah, there's that, but also...
Because...
They have shorter skirts, so you can see more ass.
No. No, I think that when you are living in like a sun-blessed city with beaches, that is also very segregated in terms of their area. I mean, you get people from Cronulla that you're like, the North Shore, they're like, no, it's your... Never been in my life, never will. And then you got the North Shore people, and you're like, could you? And they're like, what the hell are you talking about, man? Like, that is Sydney. And you can't blame the people because that creates a bit of animosity and a bit of like defensiveness. It's just how it is. Whereas I feel like Melbourne, and kudos to Melbourne for this, and I'm just putting it out there, their good public transport system could be a reason for this. Everyone gets along and they're not obsessed with their every area. I mean, it makes sense. In Sydney, if you were in Sydney, you're like, hey, come over for a drink, man. You lived in Bondi. I lived in Lane Cove. Yeah, sick, man. I'll just drive for 40 minutes. Of course, we'll hate each other. Like, it's annoying. whereas in Melbourne, you can be on one side of the city and then your mate goes, hey, come have a beer. It's a 10-minute tram ride.
That's all true, but I think the overarching point, and that's, if I were to give Melbourne a rating, I'd give it a 9, and I would give Sydney a 9.5, purely because of the fact that we have Darling Harbour,
it's beautiful,
which has both an aquarium and a KFC at it.
That's really the end of that chapter, I think. But
there's nothing. There's not. That would be heaven to me, I reckon. Looking at really nice fish from the Great Barrier Reef, eating a bucket.
You know,
21 piece feed.
You know what weirded me out about Melbourne too? Like walking around, I don't know. Maybe it was the state of mind I was in, but it just had this strange vibe of like the world's forgotten city. Like, I don't know. It was just strange to me. I just can't explain it.
Please elaborate on that. Why was it the world's forgotten city and not the ancient Aztec city, Machu Picchu?
I think I don't know. There was just, I didn't get the vibe of it. Like, I think people talk it up so much. Like, there's Fitzroy and Smith Street. And it's like, you go there and it's like, and Lygon Street's cool too. And they're different areas. Fitzroy is just Newtown. Smith Street's like Enmore. And like, I don't really like those two suburbs a whole lot in Sydney necessarily over particular other ones. So it's like,
I'm going to go out on here on a limb, Miss Lovin, and say that if Newtown and Enmore didn't exist, Sydney would be a much better place.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, that's a big...
Wouldn't it be, instead of just going there and you just go, you're going down King Street where it's extremely hot and smells like rotten eggs all the time and it's just filled to the brim with annoying hipsters that sit there and say, oh my God, all the people in the western suburbs that complain about immigrants are so racist. But as soon as King's Cross cut off and then everybody started moving to King Street, they were just like, oh my God, there's too many bogans here.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Doing exactly the same thing.
Oh man.
And they don't even understand the irony of it. When you point it out to them, they get offended.
Damn, friendly Jimmy's calling it as it is. Once again, I love it.
Honestly, it would be so much better if you just drove there and then you just had to basically get out of your car and go into a lunar buggy and then just go down this massive crater and out again. And your car was just catapulted across by some fat Greek guy in a singlet going, my house used to be in that crater.
Oh, I love you so much, man.
Thanks, myself.
I really do. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how I'm going to elaborate too much on it. It seemed like a city that was still, I mean, under development. Maybe this is really offensive to say, but it seemed like a city that was still trying to just figure out who it is. I mean, Sydney might be kind of like, as a city, might be like a bitchy chick that won't put out, but at least she knows what she is. I feel like Melbourne...
It's Tony Abbott's daughter. Sydney is Tony Abbott's daughter.
Yeah, definitely.
The one that got into fashion school because her dad is Tony Abbott.
Yeah.
It is filled to the brim with people like that, that sit there and think they're better than everybody else and that they can give people... I mean, I made a fucking career out of this, lecturing other people while you sit there living in Bondi or whatever and just like living it up to the max and going...
Yeah. Eating beach burrito. Yeah, I mean, Sydney's by no means perfect. It's
definitely a bitchy chick. What do you think Brisbane is?
Oh, dude.
I think Brisbane is a really nice chick that is a 7, but you give her an 8 because of how nice she is.
100%. And she has class and she's like shops at vintage shops and like wears, you know?
Anything that you say to her, do you like sauerkraut? Oh my God, it's the best.
Can I make a really sweeping... Can I make a bold statement, if I may?
You may. I'll allow it this once.
I'm going to get in so much shit for this. Brisbane is what I wanted Melbourne to be.
See, this is the kind of thing that you say in marriage counselling, and it's just the end of the marriage.
I know. I still love Melbourne. Don't hate me. Don't hate me. I still like Melbourne.
Way to sum that up, and it really, really compensates for you ending the last segment with I don't know.
Thanks, man.
Let's move on to this. Bert Newton for PM.
Alright. Alright, so this is obviously a spitball notion by old tired eyes over here, me. What would be the logistics? I got two questions for you, two-part question.
So Jordan. Happy about this.
One, what are the real life ground roots? I'm talking on the ground street logistics of getting Bert Newton to run and possibly win for Prime Minister. Part two of the question is, once he's in, what do you think he would propagate? What are his policies? What is his political perspective? And what Prime Minister would you say he would be most akin to in his in his style legacy. Of leadership. Legacy.
Okay, so that's three questions.
All right, well, all right, fancy pants.
I'm not fancy. I'm just good, common maths. Yeah, which is the reason why.
College boy.
True. Now, so I reckon the first part of that is to get that guy elected.
Yeah, and I'm talking, and this is a serious question. Like, if it can't be done, tell me. Like, I don't want to.
Don't you think you just make him the crossover guy on events for Channel 7 News?
Yes, I'm liking where this is going already.
Do you think?
I'm liking where this is going.
I'm at the Sydney Royal Easter Show with Megan here, who loves baby pigs. Absolutely, can't get enough of them. And then just picks up the pig and goes,
yeah.
And squeals and goes, cheeky.
Yeah.
Cuts back to Chris Buff.
So your rates are going up. Sorry, your popularity in PR is going up there.
Absolutely. Then you go on and then you do the stock standard thing that wins you popularity with the general public instantly, which is you say, look, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I am anti-pokies.
Oh, yes.
Do you think that would give him...
This is really good for the fly. Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's absolutely no way that anybody... This is Nick Xenophon's trick. This is how he's gotten four seats in the Senate by
Is this the Labor...
No, he's an independent and used to be...
Wait, is he the guy that's
Liberal
like
Party member?
Is this not the guy that's just like, hello, snapback the grey, try
that's
Pauline.
Sam Destiara.
Oh, sorry.
This is a friend of Fredley Geordie, so.
Oh, really?
We'll just say, good on you, Sam. Thank you very much for suing Chevron and getting them to settle for $1 billion.
Yeah, you can say that.
You wanted Chevron to keep the billion. Controversial opinions here.
I don't know anything about that, but. He needs to straighten up and fly right.
You're not impressive enough, Sam. Bring on Bert. Get out of Parliament for some real talent. You couldn't play second banana to Graham Kennedy.
I feel like your mate might enjoy identity politics, which I'm not that into. That's all.
Oh, yeah, he loves that.
Yeah, we'll get out then.
No, but he does it for a good cause. He's getting everybody
Snack
to
packs.
Move on to Labour with that.
Yeah.
He's grabbing all the headlines by it, pretty much what he has done. And this is so sad that he is known as the snack pack guy.
He is.
He's the guy that sued Chevron.
I didn't know about that.
He's the first politician in history.
Why did he sue Chevron?
Because they were avoiding $3 billion of tax.
True. Chevy.
You are listening to one of the youngest political commentators in Australia at the moment, whose sidekick is one of the guys from Dude, Where's My Car?
I don't care, man.
The next generation of Laurie Oakes. Wouldn't it be amazing? It's because Laurie Oakes is so fat. He just respawns, and it just unzips, and it's just you and me that come out of him.
Did he win against Chevron?
Well... They settled, so yes. But the thing was...
Well,
that
he got the money.
Court. Well, he was the one that pushed the Senate inquiry. He
right,
was the one
okay.
that led it. And Chevron. So he forced...
Is that a car company?
No, they're an oil company. I think they also do... Oh. No, Chevy's. Chevron does oil and gas. And so they have avoided... And it's a worldwide phenomenon. And he is the first politician in history to successfully sue a company that is siphoning their money offshore to avoid tax.
Wow.
So he's set a worldwide precedent, and he's known as the halal snack pack guy.
Well, I guess it's worth copying his whiny voice.
Love you, Sam. Miss Love doesn't. So, what we're talking about here is the fact that Bert Newton could be Prime Minister.
The real hard-hitting topics. All right, so we've got him kissing pigs. He's said something that's going to get the populist vote, which is let's just ban pokies, which I'm pretty sure any sane human being agrees with.
Do you think that it'd go up if he put on an Elvis costume with a fake Elvis wig?
Is that even a question? Obviously. What's the next step in his program, his campaign?
I guess every question that they ask him going, "How are you going to tackle tax reform in your administration?" And if he goes, as yes.
All right, you know what? So far, you've already outlined how he's going to get elected because you've just... I'm voting for him already. Now he's in.
Elvis impersonator Bert Newton.
He's in. He is Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Australia.
Wouldn't it be incredible if purely because he dressed up like Elvis as well, he's the first politician in history to have... 100 members in the House of Representatives on his side.
Whoa.
Everyone.
Every
single person is on his side.
That would be amazing. Is Clive Palmer still in Parliament?
That's the question, which is pretty much that. He pretty much is Bert Newton as an Elvis impersonator.
Clive Palmer.
With $1 billion.
Yeah.
He's not. And okay. he was pretty much drummed out of it because he had
corruption with
0% approval rating in his seat.
Is he a Libby?
Used to be a Libby, then right. he became an independent. I'm just telling yep. it like it is.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so everyone's on board. God, I swear Aussie politicians are just a who's who of bland motherfuckers, hey. When you look at their... I'm just trying to think of some of their names and some of their faces. I'm like, just fuse them all into one. To be honest, I think that's good. I think that's good. I don't think... I hate... Politics should not be Hollywood. It should be crunching numbers. And you should have a boring face to be in politics. So good on them.
100% agree. Everybody in Parliament, whether they're male or female, should be called Wayne Swan.
Yeah, yeah. And I wholeheartedly applaud that. But God, it's just don't want to invite him over for lunch, you know? So he's in. What now? What would you predict? Yeah, what do you think his legacy is?
His legacy would be exactly the same as Malcolm Turnbull's, to the T. You could trade Bert Newton for Malcolm Turnbull, and frankly, I wish we did.
Oh my God. You know what? I think you might be right. Unless
I'm a small
government. Small government, right?
Common sense liberal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would be his stance.
But see, that's not what... No, I don't think Malcolm Turnbull's a common sense liberal at all. I think he just says that. I don't think he is.
No.
So maybe Bert would be better.
He's
a common sense small... No, he's not.
I don't think he'd maneuver the party. First of all, you can't because the mechanics of huge...
companies
in these that
owned by corporations.
Really move the needle. Yeah,
yeah. I have
so
heard
you just
that.
Follow it down the line.
So maybe
you definitely wouldn't go with Labour because that guy for sure has listened to John Laws for 50 years, and he'd
yeah.
be of the opinion Hawke was good. Hawke was
yeah.
good. The rest of them don't know how to run a country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's so good. Was Hawke the guy that has a world record for chugging a boot of beer?
Yeah.
Oh, what a legend. He was Labour.
He sure was.
What a legend.
And that's really the reason why most people think he was a good Prime Minister.
But wasn't he?
Not really.
Really?
He was all right, but really he was just a pretty face. And by
really?
Pretty face, I mean
ugly
face. With a wig.
You just love Keating, don't you?
Yeah,
I picked it. Just so predictable, friendly Geordie-ish. Yeah, he was good. I'm not going to... Like, what am I going to do? Like, smear you liking a guy that obviously was a very successful and prolific and helpful, you know, person in the history of Australian politics. Like,
you just did.
I think he was. I mean, I think... Let's make it clear. From my understanding, prior to, I guess, listening to Friendly Jimmy's. Yeah. Probably prior to that.
Can I just say, everybody keep referring to me as Friendly Jimmy's in the podcast, in the comment section. I love it.
You don't though, do you?
It has its shine, and like all shine, it wears off.
if you know that the context of the word is him being an old-timey 1890s horse cart driver that pulls up to small towns with a top hat and a dodgy three-piece suit with elixirs that are like... make your ex-lovers fall back in love with you, I think it's pretty good.
A top hat that definitely has the top part of it going in the wind.
Absolutely. So, from my upbringing prior to Friendly Jimmy's, I thought, I didn't research at all, but my impression was that John Howard was a great Prime Minister and our greatest.
So I cannot wait until that myth... is busted.
Well, it's been busted in my mind.
Well, so. I'm going to make my next stand-up show after the one that I'm actually announcing for next year. You heard it first on Friendly Geordie's podcast, purely because it's stream of consciousness of whatever says goes. It's a really dumb marketing decision to do this, but here we go.
Yeah, come on. Bring it on.
My next stand-up show is going to be me dressed as Malcolm Turnbull doing the life of Malcolm Turnbull.
Whoa.
As that character, obviously, and it's going to be called. What do you think about these two decisions?
Yep.
It's a picture of me sitting at a fancy table in an English country garden, sipping tea, looking confused and happy at the same time. And
I like it so
what
far.
Do you think about this? It's either going to be called Malcolm Turnbull: The Brilliant Life of a Perfect Man. Is the first one, and then the second one is Malcolm Turnbull. Why is it always the roses that are the first to shrivel?
I think the first one's better because it's so direct. You don't mess around. The second one's just a tiny bit ambiguous.
Right.
And self-depreciating. So it's like he might have humility, but that's not what you're going for.
That's a really good point.
So,
having said that, I'm sticking with number two. I was just hoping you'd agree with it.
Well, now you'll know forever that it was the worst one.
But the next show after that I'm going to make is just going to be all about... It's just going to be called Johnny. John Howard Was Shit. And it's just going to be an hour of me debunking everything that man did.
I love that title.
And the myth that he has around him of being the best economic manager of all time. Well, let's just get one thing straight. He did nothing to the economy in his 12 years. He got what Keating did. He made all of these structural reforms. Structural means the way that economics works in the country.
Mm-hmm.
He did nothing. In 12 years, he was just handed this perfect economy that had a structural surplus in place, meaning that it was ticking over to a surplus. He didn't have to touch a thing, and he didn't. And then he sat there and took credit for it and said,
but wait a sec.
The labor was in deficit when we got in. We're in a surplus. And that stuck around.
But wait, structure, that's all you need to prolificate economics. I mean, right? You said all he did was put the structures in. But that's what drives economics, right?
Exactly.
So you're saying he made all of the tough changes.
Keating or Howard?
Howard. I'm talking about Howard. You said that he put in structures.
No, Howard made the right decision by doing absolutely nothing. He would have screwed it up, especially because when he was as the treasurer under Fraser, he ran up one of the largest deficits in Australian history. Not that that matters, but on top of that, stagflation. Now, that's a weird problem to have. Your economy is both stagnant and at the same time increasing the value of the dollar constantly, depreciating the value of the dollar constantly.
Mm.
So you're basically just turning into Zimbabwe despite the fact that your economy isn't growing at the same time.
Wow.
That's a unique Howard problem. He is a terrible economic manager.
That's so surreal.
It's just the facts. You look at the OCD, right?
Oh, my God.
He inherited this economy...
So heavy.
...during an economic boom worldwide. That should be enough to keep yourself in surplus.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, he also inherited it in the biggest mining boom in world history. We had all the minerals at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Keating had Australia without either of those two things. The world was going through the 87 crash and Australia had to readjust itself from that. He inherited in that period after the economy was stagnant for the last 40 years under Menzies and then Harold Holt who did the belt and got eaten by shark. And so then is it a great? I love
so
that as well.
Good.
Our version of an assassination was from the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
Put up shark niche, will you? Yeah. So that's the reason why we're in it. That's the reason why we're in it as a result of that. But then on top of all of that, John Howard, given all those right economic conditions, including the economy set up so he didn't have to touch a thing.
Mm.
Paul Keating raised our standards of economics performance in the OECD from 20th in the world, so around where Turkey is, to 6.
Yeah.
So in the same legion as Japan, the UK, peak at performing economics.
Where are you getting all these stats from? Like Pew Poll statistics, right? Like,
no, it's not from Pew Poll.
Whatever.
Pew Poll sits there and goes, 39% of Americans think that raccoon hats do reduce skin cancer.
Hey, it's a poll. Where do you get your stats?
It's got to be true. From the OECD. You can look it up on their website.
Okay.
You can look up Australia's economic history.
OECD, what's that stand for?
The economic something something
okay.
D.
All right. Okay, so it's the...
But the point is, it's the basically the developed nations' economies, and then they keep statistics on them.
Okay.
How educated the population is, how good the economy is performing, all of that is under the OECD stats.
So it's just stats. They're not like a journalism.
Absolutely not.
Okay, cool.
This is the world economist looking at the world economy.
Just want to make sure it wasn't fake news.
And so we... looked at all, and so John Howard got that. 6 in the world was what Keating raised it from 20th to 6.
Yep.
John Howard had it with those three perfect conditions, and we went to 10th.
Wow.
Doesn't that say it all? And as Ray Hadley would say, it really makes you think. Let's finish off with Green with Envy, which is where, because Miss Tim is really scared of getting a cold because Miss Love...
I'm sick because I work too much and I stand in the snow in a t-shirt when it comes because I've never seen snow in Australia. So I stand and just have my mouth open and I got sick from that because I'm an idiot. Obviously, I'll get sick from that.
You didn't watch Blinky Bill, the animated series. And if you did, you missed that episode.
Right? I definitely missed that episode. So, this game's premise is, it's called Green with Envy. We've got a green apple Dettol spray. We're going to each give each other a scenario. If one of us is, for each scenario, the one that's being asked is envious of that scenario, well, we're going to get a little spray on the arm, aren't we?
Hey, Frosty the Snowman minus the Snowman.
Bloody earth.
Frosty.
So let's do one each.
Who, you go first.
Me go. Okay. Well, then give me that goddamn tan. I can. Come here, you little bitch. All right. I don't really know how to do this.
Frosties or being called a bitch.
I'll just do it like, psss. God. All right. You don't
really
like pain.
About this.
Just as a precursor, everyone, Jordan will eat dog crap, I don't know. Like,
we had this
embarrassing.
This was the scenario yesterday. Would you rather lick Honey Boo Boo's mum's anus while she's eating KFC? So she could go, I could pop one off at any minute for 20 minutes. Or would you rather cut off your pinky? Matt, our editor, said he'd rather cut off his pinky. I was just like, show me the ass. I don't care if it's wife.
Funnily enough, I do the ass in that case just because I really treasure my hands. But Jordan hates pain. Understandably, it's not great. But will do anything. He's more than happy to humiliate himself and like walk around in, I guess, a nappy and like Lithgow Coles, lick butts.
Yes, if that isn't the definition of a good person, I don't know what is.
So
step aside, Dalai Lama. I will lick butts.
So this is his sort of this is a big deal for him. Also, at least your arm was all minty fresh. Okay,
that's a plus.
Does this make you green with envy or not? And be honest, you know, you might not. I kind of want to think of something decent.
Okay. That would have been great. Okay. Especially since you had to think of literally two words before we started, and you clearly haven't thought of one.
Does this make you green with envy?
Mm-hmm.
Eating a garbage bag full of cheeseburgers.
No, that doesn't make me green with envy.
Oh, there you go. I thought it might have.
Did you give me a free pass, or did you actually think that that was a good thing?
I wanted to make it a little bit obscure so as to not make it super obvious so I don't get you.
Garbage bag full of cheeseburgers.
Because
you were just looking at Kesha. That is the best description I've ever heard of Kesha in my life. She's a garbage bag full of half-eaten cheeseburgers.
Look at that freeze frame, man. Oh, demonic,
bro. And her
bro.
Dad's the Joker, for sure. The dad just had sex with a garbage bag, and that was the result. Now, are you envious of Dan Bilzerian?
Who's that?
The guy that is famous on social media for being a world-class poker player that goes around and has sex with supermodels and basically sits there on a jet ski firing a machine
gun.
Yes,
I am.
Thought so?
Because I know you don't care, woman. It really doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt at all.
Should we continue this game?
Yes.
Go out? All right.
One more round. At least they smell bad.
Holy shit. What have you got for me?
I want to try you now. Are you envious of a prince living in Dubai?
Don't like the idea that he's definitely never had sex and not paid for it. But you do know that he is having sex with Victoria's Secret models. So I'm going to say I'm not green with envy, but I am...
Shut up!
It's so cold.
It's cold, but it doesn't...
No wonder they call it a fruit food. For fun on the Friendly Geordies podcast. All right. Are you jealous of the guy from Mike's Apartment?
Who the hell is that?
The 2003 porn site where he just goes, "Hello, ladies. What are you doing? Hey, we're getting a tan. Yeah. Do you want to les out? Okay." And then he takes it back to the same shitty apartment every time. And they're clearly sorority girls that wanted $300.
Am I jealous? A little bit.
That's a green in my book.
This sucks, dude. It's just...
how can that blah, 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 think you'll be getting this?
I really think that that is honestly the least successful game we've ever had here, but the fact that we tried it is a triumph in itself.
Oh my God, pass me some tissues.
Okay. We'll see you next week, guys. Bye.